My grace is sufficient for you. You know, we all operate for a certain amount of bias. I mean, most of it is sort of unconscious and inherent in our human condition. We filter things to our own liking. And appropriate to a certain level. But when taken to extreme, it can produce prejudice, where we will only listen to our own tribe, our own self-reinforcing negative biases. But I want to talk not about the extreme, I want to talk about the ordinary bias for a moment, because I think it's helpful to break this open. I have a funny feeling we don't think there's any impact on our lives, but it can, and we have to be very careful how it can affect our spiritual relationships. A bias works like this. Let me give you an example. The phone rings, you look at it, and you see who it is, and you answer it. Sometimes you look at it, and you see who it is, and you go, no, I'm not answering. That's a natural bias. In fact, some of us even have special rings to those who are our closest. And before we even look at it, we know who is right. So that's called a natural bias. It would look like that if the phone rang for somebody we don't know, it's not, we just give a special preference to those who we do know. Oh, it's honey, I'll take it. Hello, hi honey. And you answer it, right? That's just the way it is. We all sort of operate to a certain extent from it. So, and it can be taken to extreme, right? Where we, you know, obviously we listen to a certain amount of radio and television, we take only the input that we tend to like to hear. We filter our television stations by what the news we think we want to hear. And if we don't like what we have, we turn it to another channel. That's just the way it is. That's what we have. So here's what happens is that's fine when we select preferences, but here's what actually happens as well, and we don't often realize it. We have an expectation that others do that for us. So when we call, that they take the call, because, well, we're on the preference list. We expect it, because what happens is when you don't, well, I tried to call you four times, where were you? Well, I was doing something. So when you pick up the phone, you know you have the special ring. And so the conversation goes. So that's sort of in our personal relationships. We have an expectation that we get the preference. We really do. We have to acknowledge that. Like when we call our friends, closest friends, we expect that they'll answer because, well, they're our closest friends and you would do the same for them. Here's what happens at work. Is our bosses expect us to call because, well, we're the boss. And you better answer our call anytime, any place. And taking to extreme can have incredibly negative effects. But like, even I will operate from that. Bishop calls, oh, excuse me one second. And I'll take the call. Does he have the expectation? I'd say he has the expectation that he's going to answer our call. I mean, I'm just saying it's just the bishop, but you'd expect a call. So what happens is, that's the reality of our lives. It's not just phone use. It's just about everything we do. Here's what happens. We project that onto God and our prayer. So when we call, Lord, I need. Hey, I'm on the preferred list. You got to answer. Now, we don't think we do that, but in fact we do. When we call and ask the Lord for something, we expect it. I mean, of course, that's the purpose for prayer, isn't it? Is to get answer to our prayers. Why would you ask if you didn't want it? But the Lord doesn't say that He'll give us everything we'll ask. He'll give an answer. The answer might be no. He doesn't say He will give an answer yes to every prayer, but that He will answer every prayer. Now, that's hard for us to hear, because when we think an answer, we immediately go to our bias, it means, yes, you're going to say yes. We're like a child asking for mommy or daddy for something. We have no concept of no. We want a cookie? The answer should be yes. If the answer is no, that's not the right answer. Right? But we do the same. We project our own biases onto God. When taken to an extreme, we can actually project our own prejudices on God. That God operates in this way or that way won't tolerate this part of humanity or that part of humanity, which of course we know, those of us who are reasonably minded, is absurd. But we have no problem with our own little biases being projected onto God. In other words, we want answer to our prayer and we want it now. This is exactly what St. Paul is trying to teach us in today's reading. He says, I prayed to the Lord, the thorn in the flesh. I prayed to the Lord 3 times and his answer was no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Your power will be made great in weakness. Now, while we say that's lovely to hear, that's really hard to internalize. Because when we're sick and we make a call to prayer to God, there is not a in our mind, oh, if it's okay, Lord, with you, I'd like to be well, but if it's not, that's okay. But that, in fact, is meant to be the prayer. Now, this is really hard. St. Ignatius spent a lot of time in his spiritual exercises on this. It's called indifference. We're meant to have a prayer. It's a preparatory prayer. It's a prayer that when I pray, that I will pray a prayer of indifference. Now, it's a technical word. It's not indifference as I don't care. It's indifference as whatever it is your will, Lord, I will take. Wealth or poverty, sickness or health, whatever it is your will, I know your grace will be sufficient. That's what the prayer of indifference is. Now imagine what it would be like if we were really able to take that to prayer. Our prayer would be very different. It wouldn't be a list of things we want, like a child asking for a list of guns at Christmas or our birthday. Instead, it would be, Lord, this is my preference. I acknowledge my bias. But whatever it is that you will in my life, I know that you're there no matter what. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, I know you are there. So actually, it doesn't matter to me, Lord. But I do need your love. And I do need your grace. That is sufficient for me. Now, if we can get to that type of prayer, then what happens is it starts to spill over into our lives. And our actions start to change. We start to become different people. We start to actually treat others with less preferential. We treat them all more equal. Why? Because, well, it doesn't matter. In fact, we might do what Christ says that God does, is have a preferential option for the poor, the orphaned, the widows. Why? Because God says those are most in need. What would a world look like that had that as a preferential option and not the elite, not our friends? Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was at Lourdes. And with Lourdes, that's exactly what happens. You could be the wealthiest person in the world. You could be the biggest prelate coming down the aisle. But you don't get into this place in Lourdes on preference. Oh, if you're sick and you're disabled, come right down. Come on in. The first preference is the disabled and the sick. What would it be like if our lives we gave the first preference to those most needed, the poor, the disenfranchised, the broken, the wounded. My friends, when we pray, may we strive to have a prayer of indifference. We acknowledge our bias, but then we'll leave it to God. And then let us act. If there is going to be a preference, if there is going to be a bias, let us act with bias for the poor, for the broken, for the wounded, for the disenfranchised, for the immigrant. Let us act as Christ would have us act.